Okay, we finish and we didn't show us. Get Pasht. One of my not so favorite sugars in Shas. Get Pasht, although not difficult. Get Pasht, eight of them mitocho. Get Pasht, of course, is a get or any document, right? Even though it says get, we're not necessarily talking about get, it's about any document. Eight of mitocho, the eight of sign on the inside. Makushar, a get makushar. Makushar, of course, is where you write something on, write something fold over, right? We all remember that's again makushar. So meachor, the enim sign on the back. Now the question is how they sign in the back. Do they sign widthwise or lengthwise? Okay, that's going to be an ongoing issue this evening. They sign widthwise, then would be they sign on the back of the text and in parallel to the text. If they sign lengthwise, they sign on the back of the text and perpendicular to the text. Okay? That's kind of ramification. So would they sign parallel or perpendicular? Okay? So, a parsha shekosv edim me'achorav, if you have a parsha which is non-folded, and the edim signed from behind, or makushar get which is folded, the kosov edim misocho, and you put the edim on the inside, shneim slim, they're both possible according to Tanakama. Chanina ben Gamliel omer, makushar shekosv edim misocho, if you put the edim on the inside, kosher, it is valid get. They should yochel as also parsha because it's the same as a get parsha. In other words, to just regard it as being untied and put the item on the inside and make it a regular document. Shigamil says, whatever the minigam medina is, that if the minig is to accept these documents, if we accept the minig is to reject these documents, to reject them, and everything follows the custom of the country. I don't know this concept of Makushar at all. I'm Rabbi Yami, so we tarish in a pasuk in Yirmiyo. I'm Rabbi Yami, Kachal Sefer Mikna. I took the book of the document in this case of the purchase. There's a chosum that which is sealed. The chosum is referring to Zam Kusher. That's a get which is tied. Okay? I knew you couldn't be coming straight here and taking so long. Did you get at least the drive up window? I took the book of purchase, that's a chosum, that which is sealed, Zam Kusher, that's a get which is tied. As a goli, that's a quote from the pasuk again. The goli, the revealed that poshet shem kushar, that is the poshet, meaning the text written into the gem kushar. Vesa mitzvah, vesa hukim, the commandments and the laws should ben zel zeh. That's the difference between the gem kushar and the get poshet. El shazeh, where the mashpia changes it, elu. These are the laws. Zebish Naim, Zebish Losha. A regular get. We're in the fourth line in the Gemara. A regular get, you know, there are two types of get, there are two types of documents, even though we're using the word get tonight, it's generic. The two types of documents, one document which is written all on one side of a piece of paper, and the witness is signed on that side. The other, you write a line, fold it over. Write a line, fold it over, and that witness is signed on the back. So in the get pashut, you need only two witnesses. But again, makusha, you need at least how many? Four. Take a guess. Four. No, two wild guess. Three. At least three. Okay. Elish zevish naim zevish loisha zemitocho. Also in the get pashut, a simple one. The edim sign on the outside. Zeh get makusha me'acharav, they sign on the outside. Okay. For Rabbanan, the case of an army, and that's one way of expounding the pasuk in Yirmiyo. The rabbis of Caesarea, army, they said, "Ve'achach sefer miknai took the sefer, the document, the purchase, zeh pashut." They put get pashut actually into the pasuk. The simple one-sided get they put into the pasuk. So the sefer miknai refers to a simple one-sided get. There's a chosum zeh mekushar, the sealed one, that's the two-sided get. There's a golui, that which is revealed zeh poshim nekushar, that is the text side of the tied get, of the get mekushar. There's a mitzvah, there's a chukim shebein zeh lezeh. The mitzvah the chukim is still the commandment and laws between the two of them. Again, elu or elu shuzeh b'shtayim zeh b'shlosha. This is with two, and this is with three witnesses. B'zeh mitochon, this could be written on the inside. B'zeh mi'achron, this on the outside. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, halacha mekusher kachu. The halacha about a right again mekusher is like this. Kosev she'am ma'av v'shem aloy v'shem aedim v'zman. In the top line, you write the name of the lender, the name of the borrower, and the names of the witnesses, and the time, in other words, the date. Mekasho, then you tie it. V'chayz save Cain, and you write then, Cain here means other stuff, on the bottom, milamato. Okay? Now the way actually the Pshat Yisro wants to change the girsa, he says, V'chayzer, and I think it's better the way he changes, V'chayzer, V'chayzer, and instead of V'chayzer of Cain, it says, V'chayzer u'mekashron v'edim chayzmin. Milamato. You then tie it up, and then the witnesses sign on the bottom. Now, on the bottom means actually on the other side of the document. So says the Gemara, Chash lomar shem oziyev. Wait a minute. If the witnesses sign on the back of the document, how do you know that they didn't forge the inside of the document? The entire side that get Mekusher is forged. Now, according to the opinion which holds that the witnesses signed lengthwise, perpendicular to the text, we don't have such a kasha. This is the Mecha Mayim says. We don't have such a kasha if you hold that the witnesses sign perpendicular. Because when they sign perpendicular, they have to make their signature extend from the beginning of the text to the end of the text. So it means that they have read everything within the text and they sign and testify to that. But what if they write parallel? Right? Not perpendicular text, but parallel. So then who says they read the whole text? How do you know that they read everything? Maybe there's stuff put in there which they didn't read. That's really Gemara's question. So says Gemara, Ravuna says that even by get Mekusha, you write the following. The witnesses do not sign, either on the bottom or on the back in this case. They read on top, and they write, Ani Ploini Ben Ploini, I, the witness, Reuven Ben Shimon, Mekubal Alai Kokosumalon, I accept, meaning I verify all that is written above. Now, what we were writing our documents in our getin, which of course are not getin mekusha generally, is our kol shor v'kayim. Everything is sustained and is valid, or everything is valid and sustained. But they wrote this. They wrote ani plenty, etc. They must write this so that we know that they read everything in the documents. So once they read everything in the documents, so they attested everything in the document is true. Okay? And obviously, once it's written at the end of the document, anything written beyond that, we'd assume is not true. But we assume that everything which is written above that, they read and it's verified to be true. Okay? So that's how we work it. So that's how we know that so we have machlokas actually. One opinion holds, which we haven't brought down yet, that the Adam signed perpendicular to the writing, and then they don't have to write this. The other opinion is that they sign parallel to the writing. And then this is what's been written at the end of the document. Okay? Rabbi Ba, the Shem Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Ba, the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Tzricham Eidim, it should be according to Bnei Moshe, Shalol Yosu Chokim Yimokam Aksav Shnei Shidim. Eidim cannot be to the witness, this is an irregular document. Witnesses cannot sign more distant than two lines away from the writing. Why is that? Because what are we afraid of if you leave two, more than two? Right? Right, if you leave, right. Leave two lines blank, then somebody will squeeze an extra line. Now, of course, if you wrote our Kol Shor V'Kayim at the end, you couldn't do that, right? Because after our Kol Shor V'Kayim, everything is valid, sustained, you can't add anything. But it's assuming that you didn't write that. So then, if you didn't write that, even in a get pasher, the simple one-sided get, you can't leave two lines open between the text and the witnesses. Okay? No, but then we don't believe it. We don't accept anything written after a kosher rekayim. Those are the last accepted words in the document. yesterday. Rabbi Yibishan Rabbi said, Mekushar, the word Shukas was superfluous, Shar Teres Yisrael takes it out. Mekushar Edov L'Orakol. They argue, he argues on Vuna. He says, you know how we know that get Mekushar is valid? And that everything in the text is bona fide? Because they sign perpendicular, they don't sign parallel, they sign perpendicular. Sign perpendicular, so therefore it includes everything from the beginning of their signature, because the signature expands to the entire length of the text, includes everything from the beginning of text to the end of text to text. Pashut. And again, Pashut, again, the word Shukas was superfluous. Eight of L'Ruch, both the witnesses, are parallel. Ahein Milagav, Ahein Milabar. And again, Pashut, of course, the witnesses on the inside. I mean, sorry, get Mekushar witnesses on the outside. No. Get Pashut witnesses on the inside. So that if they can't stand, it's fine on the writing. They'd obliterate the writing. Ahein Milabar, again, Mekushar, they sign on the outside, so that's where they sign the entire width. Okay? Now, the words Echiyav are also superfluous. And the Ethan Peshachar also takes out the words Amar Rabbi Mana. Okay? We can leave them in. But it's really just a question Rabbi Mana is asking, which is a no-brainer, so therefore, obviously, Shrat Terzo is interested in taking it out. Amar Mana, Ketzara Eli Chosim again Mekushar. How do witnesses sign again Mekushar? Amar Rav Chuna said, Ha'edim Bein Kesher L'Kesher. They sign between each fold, in other words, between each tie, literally. In other words, you write, fold, witnesses sign, on the back. So it's essence on the back side of the document, right? You write, fold, witness signs. You write, fold, witness signs. Okay, that's how it works. So
we've had this
in Bavli. Yeah, it's also Yerushalmi Gittins. So that we added there. You know, I'm surprised you guys remember these things. My memory is so bad. So says Umar. Now, you can't have between the witnesses and the document two lines, which either is going in a regular document, no get portion, or I was thinking, as the main motion explains it, or I was thinking that maybe it means when you fold, obviously one line is going to be left blank, right? Because if you write, then fold, when the signs, so then, a line, I think the way it's going to work is always going to be a blank line between the lines, right?
But we can demonstrate it.
Yeah, but I think it's in the Bavli. So therefore, so what it's saying is one line is okay empty, because that's the nature of again Mekushar, but not two lines. Two lines empty in the middle of the text would render again Mekushar no good. Okay? So before we said about again Posh, now we're saying about again Mekushar. Shema Bavashar Rabbi Yochanan said, Now we don't pass it this Yerushalmi. It's interesting. Rambam explicitly passes this again. This, but he says like this: if you have two lines, and you wrote something else in them, you know, you had a whole document about Reuven owes Shimon $100, and Miller's document wrote Bob's phone number is 555-1212. And that took out one of the two lines, one of the two empty blank lines. The document is still possible. You can't, it's an invalid document. Hi, there's not enough line room now to, there wasn't two lines left open. Nevertheless, doesn't matter. So he says, Cholak, Mokob, Shnei Shitin, Linachar, Filo Koshu, even, whatever you wrote there, it's still possible. Amr Shmuel, it's a Mastisa, Amr Kay. So Mishnah like this. This is a fascinating proof which goes totally against the Bab's interpretation of the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Gittin, Eid Echod Ivri Veid Echod Yavani. Now they're both Jews, but one is a Israeli Hebrew Jew and the other is a Greek Jew. So one signs in Hebrew and the other signs in Greek. So the Greeks, they write, according to the Bab, the problem is the Greeks write their father's name first and we write our name first. Remember when we learned this, I had a lot of difficulty figuring it out. But that's, so we write Reuven ben Shimon, that means Reuven the son of Shimon. They write Reuven ben Shimon, that means Shimon the son of Reuven, right? So therefore, the Bavli says, if you have one aid who's Israeli, another aid who's Greek, another aid Israeli, another aid who's Greek, so the document is possible. Because between the two witnesses, there are other witnesses, and we're afraid that those witnesses signed backwards. And people are going to come to be machshir or shtar based on improper testimony. That's what the Bavli says. Okay? But the Yerushalmi says a different reason. The Yerushalmi says, from here you see, the two witnesses you want are the two witnesses, either the Israelis or the Greeks. You can't join the Israelis and Greeks together. And you see between the two Israelis, you have one Greek, right? And that passes the document. So you see that even if you spilled, you filled the available place with babble, meaning the other witnesses' testimony, that renders it possible. It's no good. You can't have anything interruption, even a babble. That's the way the Yerushalmi learns that. So even if you filled up those two lines with babble, it's still invalid. Which is a very strange proof, because there it's not two lines, it's only one line. I guess they could say that they signed large. But in any event, that's the way the Yerushalmi is learning that case. So that case is a case where you filled in lines with babble because the witnesses don't mesh together, since one is written so-and-so, son of so-and-so, the other is the other way around. So therefore, that renders the gap possible. Okay? That's what it says, Mishnah Mesisam Rakein, Eidechavi, Eidechod Yavoni, Ivri Gabi Yavoni, and the Israeli vis-a-vis the Greek, Lo Ki'inin Acheru, isn't it like another matter to be Ki'inin, it's Pei Moshe. So we see that the putting Babel in between lines renders the document possible. Again, because the Yerushalmi is not concerned with the order of the names, who's the son of whom, right? Yerushalmi is concerned with the babble of having Greek between Hebrews, or Hebrews between Greeks. So said, but there's still the Lamaisa. Wait a minute, says Yerushalmi. But still, we have to prove that there's place of two lines here. It was like I just said, it's a difficult proof. Because here say that when you have a place of two lines and you partially fill it with babble, the document remains puzzled. That was a statement made by Shimon Bar Far, right? But this is not a place of two lines. You have one line per get. So you shall mean, no. There are two lines here. Because, Kavyu Aini Mechlegim Eksav Kadeshu Makri Makari Mimo. How this is, can the witnesses be from the document in order that it should still be read with the document? What's that? The Rebbe, Rebbe. Where the Rebbe? No, it's, they can be further away as long as it's still read with the document. Shemilozimar Maleshita. They can only be a line away. So here too, if you Shami say it's a good chab. Shami say, you know what the problem is? The first witness, whoever it is, Greek or Hebrew, doesn't matter. The first witness is one line away, because he's allowed to be one line away. Besides that, there's his signature itself. That's another line. That's two lines. Then finally you have the first witness you're taking into account. So that's two lines, one of which is filled with gibberish. Because the first witness is like writing Bob's witness, phone number is 555-1212. Because vis-a-vis the second witness, the first witness is gibberish. So you see, the Yerushalmi says, oh, here we see when you have two lines, and you filled one of them, even though you filled one of them with gibberish, the get is still possible. Because vis-a-vis the second witness, if you have two lines, one of which is filled with the gibberish of the first witness, and therefore, the get is possible. Okay? Theoretically, witness number two, witness number four could join together. But they can't, because witness number two now, vis-a-vis him, the document is such that it's possible because of two lines, one of which is gibberish, vis-a-vis him. It's a fascinating, but fascinating again. Totally not like the Bavli's perspective, and the Rambam says explicitly this case is okay.
Well, it's very logical,
what you
just explained.
I know, but we don't Bavli like this, because Bavli gives a different understanding. Bavli holds it's not gibberish, but it's just read differently, but it's not gibberish. Okay. Says the Moshe, Rabbi Dustoyman, you don't matter. Moshe Chasim is Sidehidim. Rabbi Dustoyman, you Dustoyman, who says, we measure these two lines based on the size of the witnesses' signatures. Rabbi Hashem Rab said, Omar Mashari, Ad Kidei, we measure based on the size of Lecha U Lecha. You know why we take Lecha U Lecha? Yeah, I did say we weren't kidding. finally understand now. Just hit me all of a sudden. I finally understand the piyut of Pesach night. I never understood it. L'cha u'l'cha. Do you understand that? You probably don't sing it. You're such a big misnagid. So, did you ever thought, what does it mean, l'cha u'l'cha? Right? It sounds like apikorsis. L'cha u'l'cha. What do you mean, l'cha u'l'cha? Are there two gods? But the pshat is, Yerushalmi gives here the example of two witnesses being l'cha u'l'cha. So what it means is, we testify. L'cha u'l'cha means we testify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'cha Hashem Amam l'cha. In other words, we're testifying, but you're saying l'cha u'l'cha. I don't know if it's pshat, it's not pshat. But l'cha u'l'cha means we're witnesses. Just like Yerushalmi gives an example of how witnesses sign. Why specifically l'cha u'l'cha? Because l'cha u'l'cha has a lamed above the line and a chaf which goes below the line. So that's the maximum amount of space a signature can take up. Because it has both the letter which stretches above the line and the letter which stretches below the line. So the two lines distance between the document and the witnesses are based on two lines if the signature contains a lamed and a chaf. I think I told you last time that English word, the one of the major problems with early Hebrew word processors is the lamed, because there's no letter in the Latin language which goes above the line. The letters which go below the line, right? G, Q, when they're written lowercase, but there's no letter which goes above the line, so that caused major problems in word processors. Okay. So that's actually the language in the later on you'll see it's Melech uben Melech, and the same idea instead of l'cha Melech, but the mem is superfluous there. Basic sa misharin also. How do we measure it? Now this seems to be repeating the same thing over again, but there is a chiddush in a little bit in a couple of lines. Basic misharin so to reckon it. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Asher, Rabbi Shubsai said, "Molei Chazim is the Edim." Again, the measure of the Edim's signature. But Chizki Amar Uvad Lekula, there's a Kula here. We go to Kula. Now there are two types of writing. Three types of writing. On the there's the Edim's type, which is really two types, and then there's the Sofer's type, right? Because the servant is not the same. So we go to Kula. Shema Yachaisim Yada Edim Dak. If the witnesses wrote small. Vaksav Gas, and the sofer wrote large. Okay, Gas, we give two lines based on the sofer's handwriting. Chesim de Adim Gas, if the Adim signed large. Vaksav Dak, and the sofer wrote small. Hochin Machar, here it's the type of me. Moshe Kretzit Achar Gas. We always go after the larger handwriting to determine the two lines. Alright, so it's said, In Hava Kagon Yesi Ben Yanai, even if his signature is Yesi Ben Yanai, there are no letters going above and below the line. Yossi Ben Yanai, right? Actually, the Ben does. What? Yeah, the Nun. Maybe they didn't write the Ben, the Nun Sofis, I don't know. But the point is, Misharin Kedei Melech U Ben Melech. Regardless, we do it Melech U Ben Melech. In other words, we use, we must not be taken. I don't know, okay. Maybe it's because it doesn't have something going above the line, but Ben is a problematic, huh? Ben does go below the line. Anyway, you got the idea. In other words, even if it doesn't have letters above the line, we give the benefit of assuming that the letters above the line, it's a kula. Okay? Rabbi Yidim B'Shem said, go interpret this like the Mecha Mayim. Very interesting. B'Shem said, Tzorech l'archik min ha-machak mokom shtei shidim. Now, he takes the Tzorech is lapped after. It doesn't mean you have to, but it means like this. If you have a document written completely on an erasure, it's all written on erased parchment. Okay, they used over parchment, which wants to be erased. So then you can even be more than two lines between the text and the witnesses. Why? Because if something has been erased twice, you can tell. There's a difference between being erased once, the Bible says. There's a difference between being erased once and erased twice, and you can tell that difference. So therefore, in that case, if somebody had, if there had been written something between the text, and again, so we don't read a kol shor v'kayim, obviously, because then you don't read anything after a kol shor v'kayim. But if there would be there had been something written in the text between the end of the document, the witnesses, and then it had been erased, so we'd be able to tell the difference. So therefore, in that case, where the whole document is written on the erasure, so it's not a problem to be distanced between the Aiden and the text itself. Okay? So that's what I say. In that case, we're allowed to have even more than plus two lines difference. All right, it's said, Vafilu Poshu. This is true even by Get Poshu, where normally two lines is a problem. Here, it's okay. Okay? Rav Amar Macha Koklus Shebaksav. If you have an erasure or a klus, it's like where you have that carrot, you know, dangling, you know, you forgot to put in a word and you put a carrot in and you put the letter on top. So Mal Klus. In other words, you have to write. The Edom have to write this erasure, or this carrot, or this dangling word in this document. We sustain it. In other words, like if you have like make a mistake in a check, you're supposed to initial it. So here too, or they're supposed to note in there by their signature, and this erasure or this insertion was done under our with our awareness. Okay, Rav Amar Zeukiuma. Rav Amar also. This is the way to sustain it. So the Petitioner also doesn't like this repetition, and he actually changes the gears a little bit. He says Rav Amar Lachlash B'Ksav Azeh. He has Tzorech Lichtov. You have to write Zeuki and Rav Amar Zeukiuma. Whatever, somehow or another, there's some repetition there. Rav Osher Itzel ben Rokulo Kuk said, "Kol mashat yochel litlos b'machak tlei." Anything you can assume has to do with an erasure, assume has to do with an erasure. What does he mean? My kol shat yochel litlos b'machak tlei. Now the next sukkah is very difficult to understand. Pshat. I don't like. I've run out of mafarshim here at the end of Ol Basra. I didn't like the Pnei Moshe. I didn't like the Shai Teres Eretz Yisrael. I don't got no Lieberman no more, so all I have is my own head to go on. Okay? So says Gemara, seeing that it's bloated enough, I rely on it. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Kitziha, Rabbi Yossi, I guess it means either a launderer or Rabbi Yossi the short. Chasani the Rabbi Yossi Bashir Shem Rabbi Yossi, who was the son of Lord Rabbi Yossi, said Yosa, said name Rabbi Yosa, Simfon Ksimileu. You have a document of Kiddushin. So, you know, Shtar Kiddushin. As a Tanai, which is written on top, towards the top of the document. The Simcha Machi Milura, and the same Kiddushin is written on the bottom, but it's been erased. So they erased it, it was written twice. Because very often document is repetitious. It's written twice, but the second time it's erased. But the first time it's still there, so what do you assume in that case? So as my Neoimer, I say, Gomel Asos Kiddushin Gemurin. Really, they decide they're going to make a complete and total Kiddushin. They're not going to make it out tonight. And that's why they erased it. Right? So why did they erase it? Not just write a new document. Begin the low mater b'nei get in order not to have to pay from between the two of them for a new document, machke, they erased it. Okay? So in order not to have to pay again, they erased it. So Rabbanah Rabbanan Chosheshin, the rabbis assume, Lomaitse B'nei Get, they didn't want to pay for another get. So therefore we assume that they wanted to make Kiddushin Gemurin. How they left in the array, the Tanai? We say that was just an oversight. In other words, where the document, basically that's what Gemara is saying, where the Tanai appeared twice, and once it's clearly erased, so I say that the fact that they didn't erase it the second time is an oversight. That they really meant to erase the second time because they didn't want to pay for Nuket and they forgot. That's kosher to yochel litlos b'machak. Anything you can assume that should have been erased because it's been erased elsewhere, assume that it is tantamount to being erased.
Does it make a difference which one is erased and which one is left? top one being erased from the bottom?
So it should, but not in this case. Later on, I'm going to see cases where it does. But in this case, obviously, the Gemara is not dealing with that variable. Yeah, sometimes not concerned with that. Later on, the Gemara will be concerned with that, but right now, the Gemara is not. Now, here's a similar case. Shtar Nafik, that was the end of the hard part. Shtar Nafik, Rabbi Chunin, Rabbi Shimi. Rabbi Shul Chuna produced the shtar against Rabbi Shimi. Ugre Machik. It's interesting. The sum total was erased. There was the sum total, and konta, which is the English for count, were machik. In other words, there was a sum total, and then there was a specification. There was a sum total that said, what should we raise? It would have said something like $100, he owes it. It says $10 for this debt, $10 for that debt, $10 for that purchase, and so on and so forth. There was an inventory, a specification. So what do you tell him? Amar Chunin Rabbi Shemi, Rabbi Chunin said to Rabbi Shemi, Pukhamei, he said, the creditor said there, go check, Adahein Konta, Mishamish. But to what point that count reaches, right? Go and check it out. Go and check out the count. And we'll go up based on the count because the grand total is not there. So, Nafak. Rav Shimon went out and he came and he said, in Triakuta, I made $3 on the count. Meaning that the inventory, the specified inventory came out to less than $3 less than what the original document was written for. So we obviously know that he gained $3, right? Okay, so that was his perspective. So it says the Gemara, Minafak. When he went out, Rav Chuna himself, the creditor, went to count the document himself, and the count said, he said, "Oh, the mid grand class. This guy wanted to gain $3. Absolutely, Esther, you really lost 10, because the inventory, the specific detailed count, actually had $10 more." Than Rav Chuna remembered. So he thought he was gained, so they both counted differently. Rav Shimi counted that it was $3 less than he remembered, and Rav Chuna counted that it was $10 more than he remembered. Now, the truth is, they both could have been wrong. They both could have remembered wrong. But in any event, they did come up with different counts. Now, here it says, I have difficulty with this because here it says the kind, which means always a proof for. But in the Yerushalmi, in Gittin, parallel sugya, and also in the Bavli here, Rebbe argues with Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. So I can make it work both ways. Okay, it's possible to make it work both ways, but with only a little bit of coaxing, and no change of gearson necessarily. But I would like the Mechamayim who says that here too, Rebbe is actually coming not to sustain Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel, but rather to argue Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel. Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel is the one who said that you can take a get mekusher, make it to a get poshut. He said in our Mishnah, you can take a tied up get and make it into a straight get. So it says the Gemara, Rebbe argues on Rebbe Chaim ben Gamliel. How so? Guva should get mechiyach loving poshut, may no poshut. The get indicates if it's meant to be a get poshut or not meant to be a get poshut. My guva should get, what's the guva should get, the essence of the get. Amar Rabbi Bar, Midamar Huna, since Huna said, or Rav Huna said, Lom Einim Chesel Mata Achikru Bo Milamalan Ani Ploini Ben Ploini Mekul Ani Kol Mashikosu Lamalan. You can tell because by Get Mekushar, Rav Huna, who said the Einim signed parallel, said that he have to write this sign off at the end of the Get, which is that tenth mountain we write on Kol Shor Vekayo. After I need plenty by plenty, I, the witness, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, so everything written in the document, it's acceptable. So if a document says that, then you know it was what originally? The document has that verification, that sign-off at the end. What was the document originally then? It was a Mekusher. Because you have to write then again Mekusher. And Mekusher, where the witnesses sign on the back and parallel to the lines, they must write before they sign, I read the document and I verify it. So that's the case. How can you turn Mekusher into a Pashut? We know it was a Mekusher because it says, you know, that it has this line at the end. So therefore it should have to remain Mekusher, right? Says the Gemara, V'atai, did we learn Taifish Taurus Kenu? There's my no, but well, all documents can have that. Did we learn? The form of all documents is to write such a thing. Says the Gemara, money Taifish Taurus Mekusharos Kenu. No, only Ishtar Mekushar, not a regular Ishtar. Arm Rabbi Avraham said, no, I feel Tamer Upashinu Mekushar. No, you can say that all documents can be written with this way. All documents are written with the language of I mean, plain, you know, I saw everything which it says, right? All documents are that way. Well, how is what's the distinction between Mekusha and Pashut, which will allow a Mekusha to become a Pashut? You can say whom the Pashut Makiv. You can say by Pashut, you dafka have to write this. You know why you dafka have to write this? Because by Pashut, there's no other way to tell that the witnesses saw the entire document. You can only tell the witnesses saw the entire document if you have this sign off at the end, which says, I, so and so, son of so and so, saw it. By Mekusha, ain't a market, but by Mekusha, you actually don't need this. You know why by Mekusha you don't need it? Because by Mekusha you have another alternative. What is the other alternative you can do to get Mekusha? What can do other than writing this? Other than writing the verification at the end, that the witnesses saw the entire document, what other alternative do you have with the Gemma Kushar to make it work? Write perpendicular. Sign perpendicular, right. So he says, on the contrary, the fact that you write this is no indication it was necessarily a Mekusha previously. At the rabbi, it's possible the always need is by a get Pasha, and don't need it by a get Mekusha. Because by a get Mekusha, you have an alternative. By a get Pasha, you don't have no alternative. Okay? So, Lemaisa, it doesn't come out to be a proof against Reb Chanina ben Gamliel. We thought that a get Mekusha is recognizable, because it has to have this sign off of eyewitness son of where so and so saw this. That the conclusion was that no, that's not necessary. And even if it is there, it's not a proof that it's a Mekusha or a Pashut. Because on the contrary, you might need that more by a Pashut than by a Mekusha. It's a fascinating thing. Rabbi Meir said, this is just a generic halacha. If it's a place where they add on halacha, we add on. How so? Pashut Bishnayim is a place where a get Pashut is, although the halacha is that a get Pashut is too. If it should be, the Gemara Gittin says, should be minach b'shloisha, if the minach in a certain place to make three, even by get pashut, take out the word hang, because it's not getting either, also in so b'shloisha, you have to put in three witnesses. Which that's how kol, so Shin Gamliel says, how kol olicha achar minach ha-mokom in the Mishnah, this is the minach ha-mokom we follow. If it says, if the place where they write normally with three, even though you only need two witnesses, you put three. And Pashut mitaycho. Normally, the witness is by get pashut on the inside, right? Instead of mekusha me'achorav vehein, should be minak mitaycho me'achorav. If there's a place where they have a minak, even by get pashut, the sign on the outside, they have such a minak there. So then, oisim masom mitaycho me'achorav, then they have to follow that minak. Asher gamliel met akol k'minak amokom. In places where they have weird minhagim, you have to follow their minhagim and write the documents. Okay. Get pashut eidav shnayim. The get Pashut has two witnesses. Mekusha Eidav Shlosha. Mekusha normally has three. Pashut Shkasa Bo Eidav Chachot, if the get Pashut only has one witness. Or Mekusha Shkasa Bo Shneidim, or the get Mekusha has two witnesses. Shneim Sulim, they're no good. Doesn't work. You have to go by the number of witnesses as specified by Chazal. Kasupo Zuzim Mein, now what if you own a document, $100? The aim of Sulim is Esrim, which are 20 Sloim. Now, nor actually in $100 is 25 Sloim. Because they're $4 per sella. But you only wrote 20, which is only actually $80, right? So what are we going after? Which number, right? One is the, like we had in our mouth, one is the kunto, one is the agro, one is the specific detailed inventory, one is the lump sum. So, anyway, let's assume to go by the lower number. The creditor could only demand the lower amount. So therefore it works the other way. It says $100, which are the 30 slime, and 30 slime is actually $120. Eilal Monikas can only demand $100. Zuzin the Inun. It says money which is Vinim Chaku, we don't know how much. Okay, the number is the raise. Eibachs Mishnaim is no less than two, right? Kesef sloyim dinu v'nei b'chuchu. Silver sloyim, and it's erased. And b'l'shem is also no less than two. Darkonos diunun, another type of coin. V'nei b'chuchu. And b'l'shem is no less than two. Now, the case in the Gemara, everybody has a little bit of difficulty with the case. Well, I'm going to learn like the Mechamayim. As an inter, I don't know if the truth is, I'm not sure Mechamayim has actually tried, but it's so cute that I have to learn this way. Okay? Tani Zuzi Dinun Venim Chuku. Chamisha. Everybody agrees. Both the Marvel Levis says the document originally said five. That's Mechamayim's Chiddush. Both the Marvel Levis agree that it said five. Everybody else interprets it more differently. Malva says it said five. Levi says it said two or three. But the way the Malva, the way the Mechamayim says, they both agree it said five. But the Malva says the five got erased inadvertently. The Levi says, baloney. We erased the five and made it two because I paid you back already three. So we erased it. So everybody agrees initially said five, but now the Shaila is what it said after the erasure. Okay? So Tani, Amre, they said, Benazir and Rekiva argue. Chadamar Noisin Shlaim, one says he pays two. So he has to pay because that's all the documents, you know, that's all the ratio indicates. It says Zuzin, it doesn't say how many. And therefore you pay two. Benishbal Shlaim take a shvu on the rest of it. It's like Moedim and Mitzas. Because he also agrees that initially there were five. So therefore now it's Moedim and Mitzas. He has to pay, he pays two and he takes a shvu on the rest. Chadamar one says, no! Came true, lo, the lo, kikar. Since if he even within, he's the one who said it was originally five. He didn't have to admit that it was originally five. That too was a concession on his part which he didn't have to make. So, lo, yolo, since if he hadn't conceded on the five, lo, yolo, shnayim, so he wouldn't have only gotten two for sure. So therefore, a note should be noito. Ella, I take out the word al, masha hoida. It's basically the mashbiach and mechamayim both learn the same way at this point. He only gets two, and there's no shvur. Because again, Moedim Mitzvahs is where your taina sustained, where your taina had a basis independently. If your taina's corroboration is my statement, so then I'm not a Moedim Mitzvahs. That's the second opinion. First opinion, oh, it's still Moedim Mitzvahs. Because I taina five, and you agreed to five, and you only conceded then two, so that's Moedim Mitzvahs. The second opinion holds, no! It's true you taina five, but that five is meaningless. Because the document doesn't say five unless so we're considering with inconsistencies in documents. Kosabo Milamalama it says on top of the document $100. Mahatma Messiah in the bottom says $200. Milamala Masayim says on top of the document $200. Milamatam below $100. Hakol holich achra tachto. This comes to what you asked before. Here we see we go where it says on the bottom. Okay, Mama Kaiser so why does it bother writing it twice? Right at the beginning and at the end. If something gets erased from the bottom, you learn from the top. Okay? In other words, we're afraid of something inadvertently will get erased. That's why we write it twice for security reasons. Okay? But if there's a discrepancy between the top and the bottom, we learn like the bottom. Now, by makushar, you can always learn the bottom from the top. Now, why is that? The reason why you can learn the bottom, the bottom from the top by Makushar is because since by Makushar, this is my theory, and I don't know if I'm right about this, but I think it makes sense. It's sort of at Dafka Makushar, and it's in line with the Shulchan. So at Dafka Makushar where you didn't write Ani Ploini Ben Ploini at the end. Because you wrote Ani Ploini Ben Ploini Makuba Laikoma Shakosu, so that means in essence you're testifying primarily on the immediately adjacent thing. The tachton becomes ikra and the elyon becomes tafel. Because primary, the elyon that says the bottom becomes primary, that which it says earlier in the document becomes secondary. But you don't write that the entire document is primary. And then you can extrapolate from top to bottom and bottom to top. That's what I think it is. And the truth of Shulchan Aruch is just about get poshut. Says you extrapolate top to bottom, bottom to top, but only where it's a, so you don't write out kol shor v'kayim. Because you write out kol shor v'kayim, which is in essence the same thing as I need plenty but plenty mekubla alai, so then what becomes primary is the last part of the document. Okay, so that's why after you didn't write our kol shor v'kayim or I need plenty but plenty, because you sign on the back because it's again makushar, then you can learn both from the top and the bottom. How so? Ben Chanan v'chanani, let's say at the beginning of the document it says Chanani. And the other document says Chanan. Obviously, it was no Nun Sofis there, because otherwise there'd be no issue, right? Or it says Ben Anan Lanani. I skipped actually a few words. Vosachas Amsteosis. He was sustained by one letter discrepancy and a two letter discrepancy. So Ben Chanani, Ben Anan Lanani, Vosachas Amkaiminos. That works. Okay. Learn, if there's one letter missing, you can learn from the other part. What about a large discrepancy? Mishteos says Ein Mekaiminos. No, not two letters. Two letters is too gross an error. You can't reconcile a the part which is off by two letters from elsewhere in the document. By one letter, it's not two. Rabbi Yitzchak Shor, Rabbi Yitzchak asked, Milamal Kosov Chanan Mata Nani. It's not Chanan and Chanani, but one says Chanan and one says Nani. Mal Amir Atach the Melion, in that case, can you learn the bottom from the top? Nani is not really a name, it's a nickname. Can you learn from Chanan on top? Or, Chanan, can we learn either way? Tachton from Elyon or Elyon from Tachton? And the Mara doesn't give a resolution. In other words, when it's off by two letter, when it's not off by two letters, but rather it's off by the entire, it's off by one letter, actually, but it's one at the beginning of the letter, the other, and even Chabtu now. Here's off by one letter, but it's a letter transposed. In the previous case, they have a Chanan and Chanani, they're both at the end, it's one letter at the end, but here it's Chanan and Nani. It's one letter, but it's transposed from the beginning of the word to the end of the word. So that's what he's asking. A tachon letter you can learn. The document says Chanan in one place and Chanani in the other place, so you can tack on the yud to where it says Chanan. But the question is where it says Chanan in one place and Nani in the other place. I mean, it's in another place. So it's changing one letter, but it's transposing one letter, which is the beginning to the end, and vice versa. So it's off by one letter, because two letters are the same. But that one letter it's off, you have to transpose and change. Shav, we go that far, and the Gemara doesn't come to any resolution about that. Okay? Halachadav. Kaisman get liisha, we write a get for a man, abba bisha ishto imo, even though his wife is not present at the moment. Bishar liisha, write a receipt for the woman who received her ksuva, abba bisha imbao imo, even though her ex-husband is not with her at the moment. Uvad shem akina, as long as they know the man, husband and wife. Baba Nathan is a schar, the husband has to pay for the, the scribe to write the receipt because it's for his advantage. Kaiser Shtar Levi, write a document for a borrower, Alpha Mishan Amavi, many of the credit, the lender's not here. And Kaiser Amavi don't write for the lender, actually, Levi, until the lender's here and acquiescing, obviously. But Levi Nathan schar, the borrower pays for the borrower pays for the loan, the document because it's his advantage. Kaiser Mochi write a document for a seller. Aval Pishin Lokerim Elvin, the buyer's not here. And Kaiser Lokerim don't write for the loan, for the buyer. Hachim Mochim until the seller's here. Lokerim no Sischar, then the buyer pays. And Kaiser Chitrii, Rusin don't write documents which attest to, betrothals, Nisuin, or full marriages, Amidash name, unless they both are around and acquiescent. The chosen is chayav, the chosen pays. Echos and shichiris don't write documents after sharecropping. Kabbalah is contracted. Elimidash name, unless they're both around. But Makabel, the sharecropper, the contractor, no, he says he pays. Echos and shichiris don't write documents which attest either to the claims of each litigant in the court case or attest to the dayonim that they agreed upon to serve on the court. Chomai's basin, nor anything, any act the basin is not shame unless both litigants are around. Lushnein knows this chayim, there they both have to pay. Shalom Leomer, Lushnein Koisman, actually write two duplicates, one for each litigant. Shnaim, Lezebat, Lushnein Koisman, Shnaim, Lezebat, Lezebat, so each person gets a duplicate of the court proceedings. So Amarai Baraba said, Toshia Maka Lushnein, when you write again, you have to know both the man and the woman. Rabbi Loyola said, Toshia Makila Ish Begito. No, you only have to know the man if you're writing a get. Uli Isha Bishroy, you'll have to know the woman if you're writing a receipt. Okay? Mathisa pliga al Rabbi. Now it should be Rabbi Lo. Actually, the Gemara again is far longer and has much greater detail than the Gemara over here. And but in line with the Gemara again, it should be Lo here and Ba later on. It's both Ba here, Lo later on. Okay, we're going to learn. Pei Moshe even says that, although he doesn't make the change actually in the text of Gemara, but it's obvious that that's the change that was made. Mathisa pliga Rabbi Lo. Rabbi Lo said you only have to know one and not the other. So he's going to gamil she'azok and she'ichtov ish ploini v'chol shem she'yeshlo. Says you have to write in a get so-and-so's name, so-and-so, and any name which he has. Ish ploini v'chol shem she'yeshlo, and the so-and-so woman, and any name she has. And we do that in our gittin, right? We write his, so-and-so, who's called such-and-such, whose name is such-and-such, write all possible names which we're aware of. And all possible names which we're up for her. So that means we have to know both him and her. Right now, like Rabbi Lo, Rabbi Lo said we only have to know the man. He would say that you have to know both. So I don't argue with Rabbi Lo. So because people might know some names and not other names, and that rectifies the world to write a possible name and know. Says my Rabbi Lo, Rabbi Bo, lazy pliga. Doesn't that Mishnah also argue with Rabbi Bo, who said you have to know both? Says Beishani Mishana Shmo Shmo. At the beginning it says over there that when they used to write Gittin, then they used to have to say over. In other words, they have to ascertain the names of the man and the woman, and the name of her city and the name of his city. So from here we learn that they didn't know necessarily. In other words, they had to ask the man what his wife's name was. So it seems like at least initially the Gemara held that you didn't have to know who she didn't have to, you didn't have to recognize her as long as he was around and he gave the information according to initially that suffice, which now like Rabbi Bo says you have to know both of them. Okay, turning the page. Halacha. Somebody who paid a part of his loan. In other words, he had a note out against him, and he paid part of it, not all of it. He gave his document out to a third party to hold on to. And he said to him, if I don't pay you back till so-and-so day, give his document and he can collect the whole thing again. Which, of course, is what kind of transaction? That's true, too. But what kind of transaction? Says, I paid up of $100 debt, I paid up $50. Now we give a document to a third party to hold on to. We tell the third party, hold on to a certain day. If I don't pay back the other $50, then give the credit through the whole document back. It's called an asmachta. In other words, he doesn't expect that he's not going to pay it back by that date. He doesn't expect that he's going to have to pay the additional $50. That he won't pay the $50, it's too low, and he's going to have to go back and pay the $100. That type of commitment. It's called an asmachta. In the Usham, it's not called asmachta, it's called the tsumin. Penalties. In other words, I accept upon myself a penalty. Okay? So he gives Mavlo Nosam, Reisimer, Ita, it says, give the document back to the original creditor. Because he accepted upon himself this penalty. Reisimer, Lo Ita, Rita says, you don't give it back. He didn't really mean it. He never expected not to default by that date. So therefore, his statement that he wanted to give it back is a lot of hot air. He didn't really mean it. Don't pay attention to what he said. Okay? Mishanim chak shtar, shtar chobo. The sum of his document became erased, but the witnesses still remember the contents of the document. My love, Adim, you take witnesses, ubadim nebetz come from the court. Ve'emosim lo kium, and they make a kium. In other words, they rewrite the shtar. And in the rewritten shtar, it says, ish ploini, ben ish ploini, Nimchak Shtoro, his document was erased. B'yoyim Ploini and so-and-so date. Ploini, Ploini, Adam, and so-and-so were his witnesses. In other words, Basin writes a substitute star. Okay? Came back to Smachta, Tani Itzumin. Now Tani here is like Lieberman says in Shari Tari Shtoro, also says over here, Tani is not always a price on the Bav, if you show me. And here too it has to do with Amoroyim. So Itzumim actually are the same motion explains in great detail here. Penalties are, if I don't come to New York, let's say, by January 30th, so I owe you $100. And you write, if I don't come to New York by January 30th, I owe you $100, right? So that's Yitzumi. In other words, we pledge penalties to each other. So that's mean. So Rabbi Avok, Gabi Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Avo, who was by Rabbi Acha, sorry, what, I'm not even sleeping and I got that wrong. Rabbi Avo Gabi, Rabbi Avo would collect these penalties. Rabbi Acha Gabi, Rabbi Acha would collect these penalties. Rabbi Ami Gabi, Rabbi Ami collected the penalties. Rabbi Yoinav, Rabbi Yossi Lo Gabi, they wouldn't collect these penalties. Why? Because of the principle of Asmachta. Okay? They didn't really mean it. Amar Rabbi Munar said, Avagav Leitz Rabbi Yossi Gavi Itzumim. You know, Yossi would not collect penalties, self-inflicted penalties under normal circumstances. Moedabu Dioi Bregu Kol Nusa. You can see it's if a person gives his son as an apprentice. Vasumanev and the master and the father accept upon themselves penalties if the apprenticeship does not go to term. So then, Duhu Gavi, the father can collect from the master, because as the Pnei Moshe brings down it from Gittin, it says he needed his son to learn a trade desperately, so if he really expected this penalty. And the person who pledged the penalty, the master, knew the severity of the situation. So our cases where the severity and the weightiness of the matter involved make the penalties have teeth. They make the penalties real. Okay? Amrei Vilcha Ravilcha said, Tana, we learned Piksuvas Bei Levi, the Mashbiel says Piksuvas here doesn't mean the Masechta Piksuvas, rather in the literature of the house of Levi. If somebody says my document is lost, Osnokiyum, we make for him a kiyum, of course, when we have witnesses like we had in the Mishnah. Tarshigam Leomer, if you should trade base, there'd be ruin, even documents which attest either to having selected judges, or having come to specific tainus in a court case, Oitzelem Kiyum, we make a Kiyum as well. In that case, if they're lost, but the Aiden remember what it said there, so then we sustain them. Okay, it's 10:15, so we'll stop here this evening.